This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, Chris Evans here. Thanks for downloading this special podcast from Virgin Radio. Today on the show, we were joined in the studio by a man who's gone from acting in the History Boys to taking on America in his smash hit late night talk show. It doesn't get any bigger. Here comes our little talk with the one and only James Corden.
From treading the boards in the History Boys to making waves across the pond in the legendary world of late night TV, our next guest has been there and done it. He's popped home for a bit, and tonight at 10 p.m. on Sky One, the Late Late Show live in London kicks off. Here to tell us more about it, it's the one and only Mr. James Corden.
Morning, James.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very, very well. This view you have is so glorious. What an incredible place to come to work
it's
every day.
Proper.
Because I've heard you talk about it when I listen to the show on the app, which I think I've contacted you about before, but I've never quite, and you've talked about this view, and I've always wondered, oh, is he lying? Is he making it up just for the wireless? But look at this. It's incredible. It's amazing.
As good as it gets, isn't
we're on
it?
The top of London.
When you hear that intro that Dapper Dave just read out there, can you believe that's about you? I'm so pleased for you. It's so, you know, the mad world of late night television, and he's here to do his London specials, and he lives in Los Angeles.
It's all too much for my
good.
Sort of, you know, it's too much for my body to. If I think about it too much, if I think about all of it, then I try not to, really, because I think nobody wants someone who just sits around going, what is going on?
I do. I want you like that in my life.
Well, then you've got it right now.
Your superstardom is stratospheric. James, I'm always pleased for you. Every sort of 7 minutes of every day, I'm just pleased. Tasha says, oh, you're being pleased for James again, aren't you? I said, yes, that's it. That's my look.
Oh,
it's,
man.
It's me being pleased for
James
again.
That is the loveliest thing you could ever say. It really is.
And the fact that you're over in the UK doing the UK week of your massive US TV show, that just sounds brilliant. And it's so big, and people want to be in it so much. What the Americans scheduled to appear that week have to do is fly over to the UK to be on the show. Like Tom Hanks, for example. Is he on tonight?
Tom's on tonight. Tom Hanks is on tonight. Gillian Anderson's on tonight. Then we have a big taped piece that's on this evening where we played a game of dodgeball. The United Kingdom versus the United States. And I'm the captain of the UK team. And it's me, Harry Styles, Benedict Cumberbatch versus Michelle Obama, Melissa McCarthy, Alison Janney, and many more.
Because
yes.
You have that, you've reached that tipping point where you have their trust. They know it's great coverage, and it's a win-win for everybody involved. And they just say yes. And you've sort of reached that point, haven't you, of no return, where everybody says, "Yeah, if James, yeah, what is it? Michelle, would you like to know what it is?" "No, if it's James, it'll be fine."
I wish it were that straightforward.
Come on, tell me
I wish it were that straightforward. Well, I mean, that particular sketch was an anomaly in that it kind of came from the former First Lady, where she sort of got in touch. We'd done a thing before. We did a carpool karaoke, she and I, and she got in touch with the show and said, "I'm going to be in Los Angeles. Is there anything we can do? Should we do something fun?" And then we had this ridiculous idea of a game of dodgeball, and that's what we did. But that normally, it's, you know, very much the other way around. Us asking guests to do
well
stuff.
I suppose so, but I mean, you know, you get more yeses than nos nowadays, and you deserve them. But the perfect combination, isn't it? The perfect combination of the James Corden show and an idea from the former First Lady. Anybody want to be involved? Oh yes, please.
Well, that is true. It's very, it was booking the other participants was as straightforward as you like. It was kind of crazy
because she is the bomb. I mean, she was over here last year with her book, which sold more copies in 1 week than most other books sold all year. Some very good books, but more copies in 1 week than most books sold in the top 10 best-selling Sunday Times list than any other book sold in the whole year. She's back for talking tours this year. How well do you know her?
Well, I mean, I don't have her phone number, but I know her well enough to say, hey, how you doing? Yeah.
But is she as nice as everybody says she, well,
oh,
she
man,
must be?
She's nicer. It's quite astonishing to be in her orbit for a moment, because what's great is if you spend long enough with her, you start to see, for me, this is everything. This moment with you right now, but for you, this is every day.
Yeah.
Every day you have to be kind of on, and she understands completely the impact that she has when she walks in a room, and she's just incredible at it. I'm so taken with her in every single way, really. I think she is a true example of how to behave and how to treat others.
And you know, the pot you have to pick from in the US, in North America, I've always said this about chat shows in Britain, or in the States as opposed to in Britain. That's why you can do one of these shows every night. Not that it's easy, and there's a massive craft to it, and you go to work, and you and your guys, day in, day out, have to come up with stuff that is watchable at midnight and good enough to go viral the next day. But what's brilliant about this week's show, Sky One tonight, 10 p.m. They're on, aren't they? They're on. When did you record tonight's show? Has it already happened? Was it last night?
We shot it last night. So it went out in America about, I guess, 5 or 6 hours ago.
Right, I see.
And then it'll be on Sky One tonight.
I was wondering. So I thought they're not starting on a Tuesday. So it's Monday through to Thursday in the States.
In the States, Tuesday to Friday in these United Kingdoms.
So did you see last night's show?
I haven't watched it, no.
Okay, what was the feedback from it?
I think it was good. I had a nice time.
It was amazing.
I had a nice time. It was really, you know, it was nice. It was lovely.
How was Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks is, I think, quite possibly the greatest talk show guest of all time. He was actually the first guest we ever had on our show in America, and we will always be grateful to him for that. Gillian Anderson was incredible, and we did a stunt last night with David Blaine outside.
Oh, you didn't mention him, so you got him as well.
David Blaine is also on the show tonight.
Blimey.
Outside Westminster Abbey, doing a trick he's never done before, not even just not done on TV. He'd never actually tried it, and it involves a big tank of water outside Westminster Abbey, and it was quite something to witness.
All in the same hour. You've got to watch this, everyone. If you haven't got Sky Now, get it today, or go around to a friend's. I'm almost going to say, if you suspect a neighbour has Sky, break in. But I'm not suggesting that. But I'm tempted to suggest that. Make friends with neighbours you recently have been holding back from making friends with if they have Sky and you don't. Sky tonight, Sky One, 10 p.m. This is one of four shows. Okay, now that's a pretty high bar for the first show. Mm. Where are we going for the rest of the week?
Oh, what else have we got planned? On Wednesday night show, we'll have Lily James, Millie Bobby Brown, Little Mix are on the show. Jake Gyllenhaal's on the show. We have a taped piece with Chris Hemsworth, where Chris Hemsworth and I were both waiters before he became Chris Hemsworth and I started doing whatever it is that I do. And we went back to our roots to see if we still had it in us to be a waiter.
Oh.
It was a huge mistake on my part to be even stood next to Chris Hemsworth. I don't know if you spent any time with him. It's not pleasant. It isn't pleasant if you look like me and you're stood with him. It's quite astonishing.
There is a context, isn't
there? Oh, my God. I was stood next to him in this thing and I was looking and I was like, technically, we're the same species. Do you know what I mean? Chris Hemsworth and I, we're the same species.
You're both allegedly human
beings. But we are both allegedly male humans, but that does not tell you anything about what it's actually you're looking
at. You're so right.
So we did that.
Because most pigeons do look the same. Most peacocks look the same. Most cows, most bulls look the same.
Yeah.
But Chris Hemsworth and the rest of us.
I know.
It's not fair.
It's quite astonishing. So we did that. And
it's
then,
not fair.
And then the rest.
Even when he's scruffy. Even
the rest of the week, we have Mumford & Sons are on the show. Sir Ian McKellen, Louis Tomlinson, Simon Pegg.
Is this the next month or just the next four days?
This is just this week. Simon Pegg, Louis Tomlinson. Michael Sheen is coming down. Sarah McKellen, Mumford and Sons. We have the cast of the X-Men Dark Phoenix. We took them on a Star Tours round London. So we said Star Tours are big in LA, but they don't exist in London. So let's do a Star Tour for the stars. So it was James Corden's Star Tour, the tour that takes the stars on
See,
tour.
That is a great
and we is. Drove them round London on an open top bus. And
That's
we
so
end up
funny.
We end up on a pedal pub. Driving around London with like Michael Fassbender, Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, Sophie
hilarious.
Turner. Yeah, that was real fun. So there's lots of fun
See,
stuff
planned.
There's
a lot of ideas in there, isn't it? You and Ben still going great guns.
We're trying.
Should we tell everybody about Ben?
Absolutely,
go
for it.
Ben
Winston is
he's
my...
He's your oppo, isn't he?
Ben Winston is my best friend, first and foremost, before anything else. He's my best friend. We met when I was 18. I was 20 and Ben was 18. On a TV show that people would remember on Channel 4 called Teachers. I had a very small part playing one of the students, and Ben was a runner on the show who would just run around getting people cups of tea and things, and we immediately became friends, and we stayed friends for a very, very long time. And I realised, which lots of people have subsequently realised, but I just feel very lucky that I might have realised it first, that Ben Winston might be the most talented person in the world, and certainly the most gifted television producer and mind. And all of the Smithy sketches that we did for Comic Relief or Sport Relief, he directed those. We have made TV shows together before, and we now have a company together called Fullwell 73. And Ben, I would never have gone to America to do this show had Ben not come with me. And Ben said, fine, I will come and I'll launch the show for 9 months. But luckily, I've managed to kidnap Ben, and 4 years later, he still lives in LA. He now has an American child. He's about to have another American child. And I have to say, people ask what's been the best thing about doing the show and all the things that have happened, and it's all been a glorious adventure. But for me personally, the thing that I have enjoyed more than anything else is watching, like, my best friend, who I've known for 22 years now, watching him fly in the manner that I always knew he could, in the manner that I always felt in my heart that he could do, has been the single most rewarding thing I've ever seen.
Fantastic.
And I would say, if Ben was here now, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I mean it completely, if Ben was here, sat here now, and we were talking about our show, he would jump in at this point and go, but Chris, you don't understand, our show wouldn't exist without you, because we talk all the time where we go, what's the TFI thing we can do? What would Chris Evans do now today? Like, we had a bit the other day where we came up with a bit, which you would love if it was we both talked about it at the point where, you know what it's like when you're making a daily show. You're trying to think, well, what else can we do that's fun? What's silly? What's visually exciting? And we came up with the stupidest idea, which is me going, I've forgotten my cue cards. I've forgotten that I left them back in my dressing room. Reggie, would you go and get him? Reggie's our band leader. Would you get our cards? And he'll just say, no, I've just broken my leg, I can't. And so then we'll go to someone in the audience. We'll go, excuse me, sir, you wouldn't just run to my dressing room and it's just, I really need them, but we're really strapped for time. Will you run? And then obviously he runs out of the studio and it becomes a ridiculous assault course where he's got to run through a marching band and dive through a ball pit and past a load of clowns. And there's like, at one point the cars was underneath a live alligator on the bar and he had to grab them and run back. And all the time we were like, that's probably a thing they would have done on TFI.
Please tell me you did that.
Yeah. We did it. We've done it
so
twice
now. When he comes back, you say, how is that? He says, it's fine.
Well, he brings the cards back. I go, thank you so much. I couldn't have done it without it. And then I just look and it says, we'll be right back with more of the Late Late Show. And that's all it is.
That is
but
funny.
We would talk all the time. We'd go, that's a Chris idea. But, you know?
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
I mean it. And I tell you this every time I see you.
And let's move on. So thank you for that. Tom Hanks. So you talked to Tom Hanks yesterday. We talked to Tom Hanks yesterday. We're going to play the interview out on Thursday.
Yeah.
So we have a link there. Danny Boyle was on the show yesterday morning.
Yes.
And so we got Danny to record some questions for Tom.
Right.
So we had Academy Award-winning director, Academy Award-winning actor, questions from Boyle to Hanks.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And Tom loved it.
Yeah.
So he has these three questions. But of course, you're our link to you're the, you complete the triumvirate because you, Tom was the first person ever on your show, and you're in the Danny Boyle film.
I pop up in it, very small,
well,
very
no,
slight.
But you're in it, you're still in it.
Kind, yeah, but I'm just, you know, playing a talk show host. No, but I'm not really, I'm sort of not, I feel weird saying I'm in it, because I'm sort of just
you're
being myself, but I'm not really, not well, like everyone else is in it, you know?
Well, Ed Sheeran's in it playing himself.
But he's properly in it, he's in it a lot. I literally pop up.
You don't pop
I do.
Up.
I'm really barely in it, well, honestly.
Well, they must have slowed it down then, because you're in it for... You don't... You more than pop up. There is a scene on your show where Hanish Patel, who plays the guy...
absolutely
who's unbelievable. So he's unconscious. He has an accident. He wakes up in a world where the Beatles song exists, but the Beatles don't exist, and he's the only person who knows the songs. So he takes the songs on as his own, and Danny talks about this, so no spoilers here.
Yeah.
But then he worries that he may get found out and that Lennon and McCartney are still around somewhere.
Yes.
Cut to your show.
Yes.
So he's the new big thing. He's now world famous because he's written all these songs like Let It Be and Hey Jude, which Ed Sheeran says he might want to change to Hey Dude.
So funny.
All funny, all good stuff, all good news. And then you... You prank him on your show.
Yes.
Now, we won't say what happens after that, but what I will tell you is this, and this is why I'm whittering on about it. Tom Hanks said to me, so have you seen the new Danny Boyle film? So I said, yeah. He said, well, that's going to be the feel-good hit of the summer. You know, that's the big threat to Toy Story 4. Danny Boyle said in here, oh, Toy Story 4, that's the big threat to yesterday. So,
wow.
And it's great to know that those two are still desperately insecure and competitive.
Of course.
So, A, that's brilliant.
Yes.
B, Tom said, you know that scene with James Corden? So I said, yeah. He said, so who appears? Who does he have backstage? And he was so keen to find out.
Oh, wow.
Did he ask you last night?
He did not,
he
no.
Even, but you're
didn't.
James Corden. Why the heck didn't
he
ask you?
Well,
what's he asking me for?
We were just sort of, well, I don't know. We were talking mostly about Greece.
Were you?
Yeah, the island, not the substance.
By the way, we have a Greek man here.
Yes, we were talking a lot about that. Yeah.
How did you get onto Greece?
We were talking about holidays. That's all. But, you know, not on the show, when we were backstage, well, yeah.
How does he holiday? How does Tom Hanks holiday? How
well,
can
we
he
were just
holiday?
Talking about, yeah, we were just talking about that. That's what we were talking about mostly. But, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he wanted to know. And then I said, look, it's not what you think. And they said, Chris, I have an idea how movies are made. I went, no, we're going to be for that, wasn't that? You know, but not all movies, you know.
Sure.
But he's desperate to be in a Danny Boyle movie. Now, you are an actor of great renown. You know, been in some amazing movies and some amazing performances, theatre shows, of course. You hosted Tony's, you hosted it a couple of weeks ago for the second time. You've done all that. But in the movie, when you play yourself, as an actor, because Ed Sheeran had to play himself, and Danny Boyle said to Ed Sheeran, it's not that easy. You can't just be yourself. You've got to play yourself. What's the difference as an actor?
Well, I would say my role was probably was a lot easier than, for example, what Ed had to do. Because Ed, like I say, is in the film a lot. Like, I don't consider, when I'm hosting the show, I don't really consider that to be myself either. It's still a performance.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's still... It's not a natural environment. It's way less natural than this environment than we're in right now. There's however many hundreds of people there, and there's cameras and makeup
and
all those things.
Yeah, you've got clothes on you don't usually wear.
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm honest, I found it an easier challenge because I was still just doing the thing that I do, which is, yes, there's a scripted lines, but I was able to sort of say to Richard Curtis, I think I'd probably say it like this. And that's how we kind of did it. And it, you know, it's not a natural thing. You don't, if I'm having a chat with you, if we're in a pub, I don't go, we'll be right back with Chris and Vassos, everybody.
Actually,
stay tuned.
Actually, he does. He does.
I bet he does.
Really, we'll be back right after this packet of salt and vinegar crisps.
So it's not. I didn't.
He does
like
that
I say,
all the time.
But like I say,
so
I'm not,
so
I don't
sad.
Consider myself to
he
be.
He gets a
in
table
it.
In the corner. He says, "This is the desk, right? You're my
yeah. This
first
is
guest.
It. You'll sit there now, Chris. Oh, Chris, that's so great for you to be here. Now, what are you drinking there? Let's talk about it. You drink a lot. Yeah. So I don't consider it to be necessarily myself. So I understand. Like I say, I think Ed had a much more challenging time because he was in real scenes, whereas I was still in this environment that I don't consider to be myself
either.
Have you,
either, seen the film, the finished article?
I haven't seen it, no.
Have you seen Toy Story 4 yet?
I haven't, no. Okay. I got sent a link and it wouldn't work, and I told my son that we had it, and that was
not a fun
experience.
Nice work, Dad.
Yeah.
Be prepared for both. We watched them back to back. We had to be mopped up by the end of them.
I'm excited to see Toy Story 4 for sure. Yeah.
Well, yesterday's pretty special too.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you're in it. You have Lily James on, I presume, about that
yes.
on your show.
Yes, right.
How come Lily James, how does she do, whenever she's part of a couple in any film she's in, they're so believable, and you want them to be married in real life because you think that is a relationship wasted on show business.
Right.
How does she do that?
Well, she's a brilliant actress.
She's a brilliant
actress. I think she's got that thing, that unquantifiable thing that you can't really put your finger on what it is. I think she's the closest actress we've had in a long time that's got that quality that like Meg Ryan has in you know, in those films with Tom Hanks, you know, When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle. She's got a quality about her where you, the audience, just want to instinctively root for her.
You want it all to be all right for her.
You want to root for her, and that isn't about necessary. That isn't acting. That's a thing that very few people have. Tom Hanks has it, you know, and I think she's got a quality about her which you're just drawn to, you know.
Right, now, I'm presuming on a show day in the States, you don't do breakfast shows in the morning for your mates. You don't guest on breakfast shows.
Not normally, but then, you know, I would if any time you want me on.
No,
sure.
But no, it's great. So how is your working day from here on in? Today?
Well, today we'll go from here to the studio, and I can tell you, I'll have it here. Hang on.
Come on.
Let me find it. This will be, because me telling you would be futile. Hang on. Let me find it. It might be boring, but I think it'll be... So, schedule. Here you go. Oh, no, that's a different one. Sorry.
Which one?
So, 6:45, 8 o'clock.
No, tell us about the first one.
That's it for another day, I mean. I searched the wrong name.
Okay.
So, so here now with you, and then creative, then mono, then a meeting with the lovely people at Sky. Then 12:45 segment, 1 p.m. rehearsal, 1:45 rehearse something we're doing tonight, 2:30 hair and makeup, 3:15 do that 4 till 5 show, 5:15 do a charity thing, and then I'm done.
Okay, now how does that feel? Because you do it every day, that makes my blood run cold. Yeah, honestly, it does, because I used to love doing TFI Friday, but it was only ever relief when it was over, because it was once a week and it was 6 days and 23 hours till the next one.
I know, but see, I think there's more pressure doing a show once a week.
I agree.
Because you are putting everything into that one show, whereas for us, like, there's another show tomorrow, you know? There's another one tomorrow. Like, we're on show 655, in 4 years, you know? So... There is, you cannot, your body won't allow you to be precious about something in that manner. You can't physically do it. You'd go insane.
Yeah.
So at some point you have to go, well, you just got, like, the show doesn't start because it's ready. The show starts because it's 5 p.m. and you're going to film it now. Like, and at some point you've just got to go, well, if we don't win today, we'll try and win tomorrow, you know? That is it, you know?
I have so much admiration for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So Carpool Karaoke. Tonight, Sky One, 9 p.m. So James's first UK show for 2019 is on Sky One at 10 p.m. tonight. Once again, just run us through who's on tonight, James, if you don't mind.
Tonight is Tom Hanks, Gillian Anderson, David Blaine, and then a big sketch with Michelle Obama, Benedict Cumberbatch, Harry Styles, Melissa McCarthy, Alison Janney, Kate Hudson, Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
And more.
Content-wise, it's a bit thin. But anyway, tune in regardless. 10 p.m. tonight. But at 9 p.m. tonight, to get you in the mood, the latest Carpool Karaoke is Celine Dion, Sky One, 9 p.m. tonight. And that's currently had 16.74 million hits. The biggest Carpool Karaoke is, of course, Michelle Obama, Madonna and Paul McCartney. And people still talking about Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that was a special moment. I think so, for sure. No question.
Top three?
Oh, I would say top one. For me personally, in a sense of, I think it was the sort of, I don't know, it was the culmination of the best I think that segment can be. You know, it sort of, it went I don't know what happened that day. I'll never really know or understand it, but something happened and it went beyond a sort of segment on a late night talk show, you know? It was a really special thing. It really was.
The description is, it went beyond. And you can just leave it at beyond what? It just went beyond. Sometimes things go beyond.
Yeah.
And you can't explain them because they're unexplainable. But you know, we all know what we're talking about, but we can't explain it because it's beyond words. It's beyond words.
Well, there
everything.
Hasn't been a day, and I mean this genuinely. It went out basically around this time last year, and there hasn't been a day that somebody hasn't talked to me about that thing everywhere. It was a really, it's testament to him really, and the power of his music and the power of what he means to people. And I think we were just able to capture something being back in Liverpool, going down Penny Lane and going in his house and all these things. I'd heard the phrase, you know, traffic stopped. I've heard it a lot and I'd never quite understood or seen it until being on Penny Lane with Paul McCartney and every single car was stationary in the road and you couldn't hear a single car horn. Nobody in this, it was BB, because people were just, it was a magical thing to be part of. I'll never, ever, ever forget it.
So you were talking there about the king of late night, David Letterman. Johnny Carson for some, Dave Letterman for others. You pick your favourite guy. So he did his show for how long on US?
Letterman, I think he did it for like 25 years or something like that, I think. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. there was a when Johnny Carson stepped down from the Tonight Show, if there's a brilliant film called The Late Night Wars.
It's a better book. There's a better book. The Bill Carter book is I think better than the
yeah,
film.
They go hand in hand.
For
but
sure.
But I mean, to be honest, you're right. It's a TV movie, but for TV nerds like us, I thought it was gold,
to
be honest.
Yeah, it's quite a fascinating moment in time.
And it's how Jay Leno ends up getting Johnny Carson's show when everybody knew it should have gone to Letterman, including actually Jay Leno. But he got it, and then Letterman went over to the other side. But they then did the show for years for hundreds of millions of dollars cumulatively, didn't they? They got paid hundreds of millions of dollars.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Well, I know Letterman was on $24 million a year in 96. I know that. And he gave the show up when?
He ended just after we started, so 2014.
Right, so even with my rudimental maths, that's about $250 million, and that's after 1996. So that's all going very well. But he said on his last show, his last line on his last show.
Well, he didn't say on his last show, when he announced that he was stepping down, he said, I told myself that the day I got bored of this job, a decade later, I'd retire, which I think is right up there in some of the funniest things that David Letterman ever said.
And
I
he
think.
Retired to the mountains, and he's now got this massive beard, and he couldn't leave it alone. He said he does these 1 hour Netflix specials.
He does the show on Netflix, yeah.
And he does these 1 hour big hitting interviews with like President Obama and people like that, and they are unbelievable, aren't they?
Yeah. No, he's a terrific broadcaster. He really is. Yeah, there's no denying
that. Now, the interviews he sort of always wanted to do with the people he really wanted to talk to and didn't just have to tolerate because they were part of the schedule that
week.
Well,
not only that, I think he enjoys the notion of trying to sit into an interview and physically get one, which is very difficult when you have to go, stick around, we'll be right back, you know? It's, you know, that 6 or 7 ad break structure in America is difficult when you're interviewing someone.
So, you're 4 years in. He did it, I think he did it for 30 odd years all in all. Do you have any kind of crystal ball, misty as it may be,
I don't know. I imagine I'll stay doing it for a little while, I think. That's my hunch. But then at the same time, for us as well, for Julie, my wife and I, we have a greater question, which is, where do we, you know, look, we're a long way from home, you know, when we're doing the show, and there's people here on this glorious island that we miss every day, and you know, there are questions, where do we want our kids to go to school? There's people getting older, that time is the key, and time with people and all of those things, and all of those things will be factors which are far greater than, do I still want to carry on doing the show or not? It's a greater question than that, you know, I think.
And it's a nicer adventure than a life sentence, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I don't know. It might be that every time it comes up that I think, God, no, there's still more I want to do in this particular space, you know. But then it might be that I think, you know, there's things I really miss about being in a play or writing, you know, sort of narrative TV and things like that. There's things I miss greatly, and muscles that I still enjoy using from time to time. But I wonder, we'll see, really. I don't know. We'll sort of cross or burn that bridge when we get to it, you know.
If you were to sign a new contract now-ish, how long might that be for?
It would be for a few years. Yeah.
Cause is it the five? Is it because there's a 5-7 year rule in the States, or a 7-9 year rule for TV? Does that apply to late night as well?
I don't know. Is the honest answer? Okay. I really don't. Okay, but I think we'll. No, I think I'll. My hunch is I will continue to do it for a
couple
a while.
More years. Yeah. Which means you might need some fresh ideas.
Okay.
So let's get on to this show.
Oh, great! I'm excited for this. This has had quite the build up. I'm really excited.
I hope
the CBS lawyers are listening because.
Let's recap on your carpool karaoke that you're still doing. All right, just for people who don't know, what is it and how did it? When did it emerge as an idea?
Oh man, well, carpool karaoke emerged as an idea. We actually had the idea before we launched the show. Like when you're looking to make a show like this, you're thinking, well, what are the tentpoles, if you like, that are going to hold our show up? Like when you think of these shows, you think of David Letterman top 10 lists or Jay Leno's Jaywalking or Jimmy Fallon's thank you notes and all these things. And without those things, your show is only reliant on news. You want things that the audience will return back to. Oh, it's that thing we like, particularly even more so with the internet, with, you know, branding essentially is what the internet is. Oh, it's that thing I know, you know. And we're talking a lot about this and we were wondering what it was. And we were actually sitting with our writing staff, myself and Ben, and a brilliant director and producer called Gabe Turner, who's a partner at Fullwell. And we were watching and we were playing our writers the sketches we'd done for Comic Relief and Sport Relief. And one of them had myself and George Michael singing Wham songs in a car. And of all the things that happened in that sketch, and like Paul McCartney was in that sketch and Keira Knightley and Gordon Brown and all these Rio Ferdinand, incredible people. The thing that people would talk to me about is they'd say, that thing with you and George in a car, singing in a car, man, that was fun. And we were talking about this and Ben started saying, is there a thing we could do where we're out and about in a car? But then we were like, well, Jerry Seinfeld has a show where he chats to people in a car. We're like, well, what can we do? I get it. The stripped down nature of it's good. But then we were saying, well, people always talk about the traffic in LA. And Ben was like, what if you pick up the biggest artist in the world in your car to help you get to work? Like, there's got to be a hook to it. It can't just be driving around, you know, taking it to work. And I said, to beat the traffic in the carpool lane. And I remember it was like 3 p.m. on a Friday and we were going to work till like 7. And I said, we called it carpool karaoke. And we all just went, we all just stopped. And Gabe says, and I'd forgotten this, Gabe said that I was holding a pen and I just put the pen down on the desk and left. And I said, that's it, we're done. And we left and we went home. And there's quite a fun thing we can do, which all the listeners, anyone listening to, there's a fun game we can play here, which everyone now in the studio, everybody waiting in the control room, everybody in their car and the way to office, wherever they are, coming back from the school run, wherever you are right now, if everyone now, think of a recording artist who's alive. So think of it. Tell me, have you all got one in your head?
Yeah, I've
got one in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Got one in your head?
Yeah, yeah.
They said no. They all said no.
That was the last thing I was expecting. Yeah.
And we were like, we thought we had this great idea that people would go, yes.
Let's just check they said no. And it was yours, man.
I thought Cher.
Said no.
Rod Stewart.
Said no.
Snow Patrol.
Said no.
Okay.
And they all said no. And nobody would do it. And we were like, what? And then it was just a chance meeting with someone who looks after Mariah Carey, very close to Mariah Carey. And I was able to play this wonderful A&R executive. I played her the clip of me and George Michael. I played her a clip of me and Gary Barlow singing. And it just, the timing happened that Mariah was going to put some new dates on in Vegas. And it just all came together. And it was, and she was like, okay, we'll do it on Saturday. And that was like a week before we launched the show.
Wow.
And we will forever be grateful
to
her
though.
And it. Yes.
It's written in the stars.
Well, I don't. Yes, possibly, but we will all. I don't know. Who would ever have guessed that it could become? We knew it was a good idea. We didn't think it would become. A thing
everything
that
has to be right,
we'd be
doesn't
talking
it?
About now on a radio show 4 years later. You
the
know,
the stars have to thank God. God bless 3 p.m. on Friday afternoons.
I know,
because you're desperate as well at that
oh
point.
Oh my God, were we? You'll never know.
In the car industry, they say never buy. They call them Friday afternooners. Never buy a car built on a Friday afternoon because it will fall apart because everybody just wants to go home.
But I didn't know that. Yes, that's wonderful.
I bought one once.
Wow.
He went, I'm going to check. My car kept going in for it. There was something wrong every week. He said, I'm just going to check when this car was built. I bet it's Friday afternoon. 2:30 Friday afternoon.
No way.
Yeah, it came
wow.
Unbelievable. But thank God for that. I don't know whether to talk about our new idea
come on,
anymore.
Come on, let's pitch it. Come okay. on, I'm interested.
Well, we can play it. So,
all right.
So basically, what's been happening is we have 21 VIP trips for 21 Grand Prix from Sky Sports, Sky F1 to give away. And so we've been playing this competition called Answer 3 in a Row, You Get to Go. So if you're playing for the Australian Grand Prix, the first question gets you to Australia. You get that right. The next question gets you to Melbourne. You get that
wow.
right. The next question gets you to the track itself. And then
wow.
you're there, you're done.
This is a great idea.
So the first question is about Australia. The second
yeah.
question is about Melbourne. And the third one is about the Grand Prix of the Australian Grand Prix in the past.
For okay. sure.
Sky then said, we want to give away three a day now, three
wow.
trips a day. Okay, so you've got to expedite the process. How do we do that? And here's the new thing. So it's called One For All. So we played it for the first time ever at 7:30 this morning
yeah.
without rehearsing it
yeah.
on the air, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we're giving away a trip to the Austrian Grand Prix, the British Grand Prix and the German Grand Prix.
Wow.
So we get three callers on the line. And
yeah.
instead of answering three to get to go in a row,
yeah.
they've just got to answer one each.
Sure.
So we asked the first lady about an Austrian Grand Prix question. The second gentleman was about the Silverstone Grand Prix. And the third lady was about the German Grand Prix. And it's all A or B.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so who did this? Was it A or was it B?
Sure.
And we asked them all the question, then they all answer. If they all get the question right, they all go. If one of them gets it wrong, none of them go.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all for one,
oh my
one
gosh.
For all. Okay.
That is terrible. That's a lot of pressure.
We were going through the permutations of this. If you did this as a game show, and don't tell me that your TV company haven't asked you for a game show, right? If you did this, you could get 10 people every night at the end of your show. 10 people. This is your new carpool karaoke, and you're like, I can see your eyes are twinkling here now.
Well, this is so actually a good idea.
You get it's a brilliant idea.
Why are you giving
sworn
it away?
I'm not. We're going 50-50. We'll do a deal in a minute. Okay. So at the end of your show, perhaps on a Friday.
Yeah.
So every Friday, maybe for the second half of the whole of your show on a Friday, you get 10 of your audience in a row. Okay, and they all have to answer an A or B question each. If all 10 get it right, they get $1 million. Boom.
Oh, well, now that's difficult. The $1 million might be tough.
No, well, if you do the maths and you go back to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I've done the maths because I'm a student of format.
For sure.
I think it'll be okay.
You still got to get the network to go along with it.
Okay, well, you can scale it down if you want to. You could say $100,000, okay? But it can be sponsored by someone.
For sure.
This section of the show.
Oh, I'm loving this.
Okay, so you ask one question
I mean,
each.
I'm all in on this
okay,
idea.
Okay, so you ask them one question each, they give you the answer.
We should call Ben and see if he's listening.
Okay, so you say, you know, was it A, President Obama, was it B, Michelle Obama? I think it was Michelle Obama. Okay, so Julie from upstate New York thinks it was Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've answered your question. Question number two to contestant number two. They all answer, you take a break, you come back, and then you start to tell the people who've got it right that they've got it right. And you keep on going.
I mean, I get it.
You get it.
I get it.
We're done.
I get it.
We're done. It's one for all for one.
I get it.
It's 50. This is deal, we're doing this deal on the air.
Okay.
50-50, you and
sure.
I. You and I.
Yeah.
You get 50-50 on all rights forever, everywhere, but you've just got to do it on your show.
My phone just beeped. It could be Ben. Let's check.
Oh. It is Ben.
Okay. No, listen to this.
Okay.
He's calling.
Okay.
Hang on. Ben is calling now.
Let's put him through the desk. And
I
get
don't
him
know
on
how
the
to
air.
Do that.
Okay.
Though. He's calling now. The phone is ringing.
We'll go to the travel. We'll get him through the desk.
It's
we'll get
ridiculous.
Him on the air. Go in there, James, and sort
hang
it out.
Hang on a minute. Let me see if it's all right. Okay.
Go and do
right,
that in there.
On.
Okay, let's
okay.
get him on the air.
Hang on.
I believe Ben's on the phone. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Christoph. Good morning, James.
Okay. Are we in? Is this a deal? Is it a done deal or not?
We're in, but I'm not sure 50-50 is fair because we're giving you the platform.
Okay. All right.
Well, I love it.
I thought we were friends. I thought we were... 50. Listen, if the cake's big enough, the percentages aren't important, all right?
Hey, it's better to have 40% of something, Chris. It's a great idea. I absolutely love it.
Well, I've got the idea. Listen, carpool karaoke, don't get me wrong. It's all right, but, you know, we've all seen it. Okay?
We've seen it. It's done.
You're running out of rock stars that are still alive.
Hey, Benno, it is a good idea, though, eh?
I love it because I actually think the pressure... And actually, it will pay for itself because the truth of it is they'll lose enough so that you won't end up giving away that much money. And when you do, impactful.
Yeah, it'll be so impactful. And people have got to believe it's real.
No, well, there's a different way of doing it because there's a twist on the format. I just thought during the travel there.
Go on.
Okay, so you start with 10 people. You ask them 10 questions each. And everybody's screaming at the TV, oh, my goodness me, I think they've got them all right. Yes. Oh, my, we'll find out after the break. You then come back after the break and you start revealing who's got it right. And three have got it right. Four have got it right. Five. So the tension's building, okay?
Yeah.
Let's say it gets to six or seven. It gets to seven, and I've got to tell you, the next person has also got it right. We're on eight, everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, the ninth person has unfortunately got it wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
Then those eight people can come back next week, and you play for eight people to get it right. And then five, and then four, and three, until you give it away. But you could end up with just two people. So you can do it two ways. You can do it every Friday, just 10 people, 10 people, 10 people, 10 people. It's the last 10 minutes of the show. It's one question every minute for 10 minutes. You play an ad break, you come back for 1 minute, and then you reveal the answer. Or the network then say, oh my goodness me, this is so good. Is there a series in it? And says, yes, there is. And the way we do that is we do a 10 down to one by knocking people out all the way down. What about that?
I love it. I think it's great. But I don't think, but we wouldn't have them back it because I think the whole point is you come in that audience and you think I may be picked as one of that 10 this Friday or this Thursday.
Yeah, and the Friday.
The idea of them coming back, I'm not sure we need that. I think it's good enough without it.
No, I'm saying
it's so exciting.
I'm saying as a spin-off, for daytime.
I see.
For data, I'm saying
for the affiliates.
Yeah? Because we've got to go affiliate. Ellen's on affiliates. She's on 69 mil a year. Right? We need affiliates, my friend. Okay.
What happened at 7:30 this morning? Did they win or did they not win? I didn't hear.
Two of them got it right. One of them got it wrong.
So none of them go.
None of them go. So it's all for one and one for all. It's like life. If you unite together, you know, united we stand, divided we lose. It's a metaphor that the world needs. It's what the world needs now. All for one, one for all.
Oh, my God. And that's how we sing it out. So,
and you do it every Friday, last segment of the show. Boom. You're very welcome. Thank you, Ben.
Do we have a title?
All for one!
All for one.
One for all, man!
Oh, and that's the theme tune. I love it. I'm in.
Okay. Ben's in.
Perfect.
All right, that's it. Done deal.
I knew it. He texted, I love this idea, whilst we were talking about
every Friday, and you also, maybe you have a bigger audience. It's 1,000 people on a Friday because they all want to be in the 10 to 1 thing. Anyway.
This is the defining phone call of our career, guys.
This is it.
It's changed everything for all of us.
It really may have done.
It's just the next chapter.
Yeah. Look, I love it.
Yeah.
We'll get a castle one way or another, okay? We'll have a turret
each. I'm going to leave you two to it.
Okay.
Love you, Benno. I'll see you in a minute.
Love to you all.
See you mate.
Too. He even knows when to sign off.
Look at that.
Nothing's better for being longer. Well, anyway. So that's it.
Good idea.
It's one of my better ones.
Hey, and you've had a lot of good ones.
A couple of good ones.
You've had a lot of good ones.
Would you consider that?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
No problem. It's been great to talk to you. You are a force for good, James Corden.
Oh, you're so kind.
You are a force for good, and I know you've realised that. And to be aware, first of all, you have to be awake. To prepare, you must repair. To be present, you must remember to be breathed and not breathe. Well done, my friend.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.